Janantho Mamabhyayam Anuttamam. Avyaktam, non-manifested. Vyaktim, personality. Apannam, achieved. Manyante, think. Mam, me. Abhutayaha, less intelligent persons. Param, supreme. Bhavam, existence. Ajanantaha, without knowing. Mama, my. Avyayam, imperishable. Anuttamam, the finest. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Purport. Those who are worshippers of demigods have been described as less intelligent persons, and here the impersonalists are similarly described. Lord Krishna, in his personal form, is here speaking before Arjuna, and still, due to ignorance, impersonalists argue that the Supreme Lord ultimately has no form. Yamunacharya, a great devotee of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya, has written a very appropriate verse in this connection. He says, Tam Shila Rupa Charitai Parama Prakrishtai Sattvena Sattvikataya Prabalais Chashastrai Prakhyata Daiva Paramartha Vidam Mataischa Naivasura Prakritaya Prabhavanti Bodham. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva and Narada know you to be the personality of Godhead. By understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know that child is disturbing. One can come to know your characteristics, your form, and your activities. And one can thus understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you. However expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tathapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Sri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sadivam Sādvaitam sāvadhūtam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha krishna padam sahagana dalita Sri Vishakham vitamsta He krishna karuna sindho neena bhantho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kamsana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Prakasantobhyayevacha
Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I think let's ask the ladies to move up also. These cushions can. More ladies want to come. It appears from these verses and purports that Krishna, that Bhagavad Gita is very anti-Hindu. What do we mean by that? Generally, there are some popular ideas which are taken to be generally accepted in Hindu religion. But those ideas are rejected in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Hindu religion, sometimes it's taken that there are so many gods and they're all on the same level because, we'll start there. There's so many gods and they're all on the same level. And you pick this one, you pick that one, whichever one you like, because they're all the same. And this is all what Hinduism is about. But Srila Prabhupada opens his purport by saying that the worship of worshippers of demigods have been described as less intelligent persons. People say, what is this, demigods? Why do you call them demigods? All right, we'll call them gods, devas. But certainly there are other gods. They're not Krishna. And why does Prabhupada say they've been called less intelligent? Kamaistaistar vrittagana prapajyante amyadevata. Actually, less intelligent is maybe overstating the case favorably. Vrittagana means bereft of intelligence. Pritta means taken away, lost, gone. Pritta again. Kama is because of material desires. Because of material desires, kama is taiste pritta again. Prapajyante, those who surrender, those who worship Anya Devata, some Devata, Devi Devata, other than Krishna. Pritta again. Krishna says that their intelligence is taken away. Tam tam niyamam asthaya prakritya niyatam. Those who are worshipping according to some religious principle, but not worshipping the Supreme Personality of God. Because the whole Bhagavad Gita stands on the premise that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Hare Krishna. We're saving a seat for you. Hare Krishna. So hurt again. Because Ahamadirhi Devanam, Krishna is the origin of all these devas and devis and devatas.
Mata paratram anya kinchid asti. There's no one above Krishna. Asamavrtva, there's not even anyone equal to Krishna. That means everyone's below Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada is standing on firm ground when he says that in the Bhagavad Gita, the worship of this, of other devas, you can say gods, demigods, semigods, whatever you like, has been described as being a less intelligent program. Now, Hinduism part two. Why are all these devis and devatas, Krishna, Ganesha, Murgan, Shiv, why are they, the Durga, Kali, why are they all on the same level? Because they're all representations of a higher truth. The real truth is Nirakar Brahma, no form, no qualities, no name, no activities, beyond thinking, beyond description. And from that impersonal Brahma come all of these representations of the higher truth. You can call it, there's Krishna, there's Ram, there's Nrisimha, there's Shiv, there's Ganesh, there's Devi, there's so many. But they're all just representations of a higher truth. Has anyone heard this before? Mm-hmm. We've heard it before. Practically, this is taken to be Hindu religion. But here Srila Prabhupada says that this also is rejected in Bhagavad Gita. In the present verse, and he's cited the statement by Sri Jamunacharya, great Acharya from South India, that even those who may be very expert in understanding, in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads, cannot understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Brahma Sangita, it is stated that the personality of Godhead cannot be understood simply by the study of the Vedanta literature. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can the personality of the Supreme be known. The personality of the Supreme. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated that not only are the worshippers of the demigods less intelligent, but those non-devotees who are engaged in Vedanta and speculation on Vedic literature without any tinge of true Krishna consciousness are also less intelligent. And for them it is not possible to understand God's personal nature. Persons who are under the impression that the absolute truth is impersonal are described as abuddhaya, which means those who do not know the ultimate feature of the absolute truth. What does abuddhaya mean? All generally? Abuddhaya?
Less intelligent.
Yeah? Buddhi means?
Intelligent.
Buddha. Buddhi means intelligence. Buddha, intelligent. And abuddha, not intelligent. Yeah, you can say even no intelligence. Not intelligent. Abuddhi. And in English we have non-intelligent or unintelligent. So the prefix in Sanskrit is a. Abuddhi. Abuddheha. Not intelligent. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that supreme realization begins from the impersonal Brahma and then rises to the localized supersoul. But the ultimate word in the absolute truth is the personality of Godhead. impersonal realization is preliminary. From the impersonal realization, the next stage is to see. Impersonal means God is everywhere, God is all-pervading. Higher than that is to come in touch with God within one's heart, as Paramatma. And higher still is to realize the personality of God. Modern impersonalists are still less intelligent, for they do not even follow their great predecessor, Shankaracharya, who has specifically stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonalists, therefore, not knowing the Supreme Truth, think Krishna to be only the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, or a prince, or a powerful living entity. This is also condemned in the Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti Mamuta Manashim Tanavashritam. Only the fools regard me as an ordinary person. Avajananti Mamuta Manashim Tanavashritam. Because Krishna appears to be a person like us, the impersonalists think that he is something like us. He can't be the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth is something impersonal, something formless, nameless. And Krishna is some sort of projection from that Supreme Truth in human terms. But in this verse, Krishna says, Vyaktim vyaktim apanna manyante mamabhuta. Avyaktim vyaktim, avyaktam vyaktim apanna means they think that I've obtained this form from some formless higher principle, higher state. Manyante, that's what they think. Who thinks that way? Abhutaya. Abhutaya, we've already discussed. The fact is that no one can understand Krishna without rendering devotional service and without developing Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam confirms this. Atapite deva padambujadvaya prasada deshanugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years.
Tapite deva padambujam dvaya prasada deshan yudhite.
If one has gotten even a little mercy, prasada desh, even a little fragment of mercy from the lotus feet of Krishna, then he can hope to understand Krishna. But not simply by studying the Vedas for many, many years, vedeshu durlabham. Studying and speculating will not bring us to the conclusion. One has to get the mercy of Krishna by rendering service to Krishna. Ooh. One has to get the mercy of Krishna by rendering service to Krishna. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Krishna can be understood by those who render some service to Krishna, not by those who simply speculate. This. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his form, quality, or name, simply by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literature. one must understand him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature, and that all his activities, his form, and everything are Maya. These impersonalists... What changed? Someone changed the sound settings? Did somebody change it? Yeah, you changed it, and now the result is that there's feedback and it's not working properly. So please change it back. If you can't hear back there, then we're sorry. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. If you can't hear, I don't know, we don't have any seats up front, I'm sorry, but changing that speaker won't bring about the desired result. Hare Krishna. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature and that all his activities, his form, and everything are Maya. These impersonalists are known as Mayavadis. They do not know the ultimate truth. Krishna is just a stepping stone to some higher principle. He can't be supreme, really supreme, because his body is made of material nature. He has a temporary, perishable body. He has a form, and form means it must be material. It's some lower conception to accommodate us because we can only think in terms of form. Right? This is what they say. This is all rubbish. Write it down in your book. It's all rubbish. Whichever Swamiji says it, whichever yogi, whichever mahatma, whichever rishi, whichever maharishi, whichever sadhuji, or what have you, whoever says it, it's rubbish. And such a person is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita to be a Buddha. I'm not saying it. What do I know? I'm just an American. But Krishna is saying, anyone who thinks in this way is a bhutaya. He doesn't understand me. Even he's a muta. He's an ass. Unintelligent is the kind word, but Krishna doesn't mind using a stronger word, muta. Or what is that? Namam duskritana mudha prapadyante nirahama. Maya pratigyana asura pramashita. They're not surrendering to me. They think surrender here, surrender there. It's all the same. I have to surrender to the Supreme, formless, nameless. He's a miscreant. He's an ass. He's Maya Pratigyana. His knowledge has been stolen by illusion. And Asura Bhava, he has the demonic mentality. Oh, but he's a big Swamiji, and thousands of people come and he wants to speak, and he speaks on Bhagavatam. And this and that. That's all right. Does he surrender to Krishna? Or does he say, Yatamat tatapat, you surrender here, you surrender there, as you like, whatever attracts you, because it's all the same, because the Absolute is finally Nirakar. Then he's a resko, that's all. We don't care how important, how big name, how he's a great saint, this, that. Krishna says he's a resko. Not me. I don't have to have an opinion on that. It's Krishna who says that. That's Bhagavad Gita. No, no, this is against all the principles of Hinduism. Okay. But it's Bhagavad Gita. So if you want to have a Hinduism, which is contrary to the statements of Bhagavad Gita, that's another thing. But according to Bhagavad Gita, it's all rascaldom, and one is meant to surrender to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is the basis of the impersonal Brahma. Brahmanohi pratishtha, Krishna says. The 20th verse clearly says, those who are blinded by lusty desires surrender unto the different demigods. It is accepted that besides the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are demigods who have their different planets. And the Lord also has a planet, Goloka Vrindavan. As stated in the 23rd verse, Devan Devayajo Yanti Madhakta Yanti Mamavi. The worshippers of the demigods go to the different planets of the demigods. And those who are devotees of Lord Krishna go to the Krishna Loka planet. Although this is clearly stated, the foolish impersonalists still maintain that the Lord is formless and that these forms are impositions. From the study of the Gita, does it appear that the demigods and their abodes are impersonal? Clearly, neither the demigods nor Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are impersonal. They're all persons. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has his own planet, and the demigods have theirs. Devan Devayajo Yanti. Those who worship the devas, where do they go? To the devas. Devan Devayajo Yanti. Those who are Devayajo, who are worshiping the devas, go to the devas. Madhakta Yanti Mamati, and those who worship Krishna, go to the Krishna. Not that you worship the devas, you go to the Supreme, you worship Krishna, you go to the Supreme, you worship anything, you go to the Supreme. You buy a ticket for Chicago, you go to Chicago. You buy a ticket to Miami, you go to Chicago. You buy a ticket to San Diego, you go to Chicago. According to which ticket you buy, you go to that destination. There's a difference. It's not that it's all the same. We're all teaching the same thing. We're not all teaching the same thing. Bhagavad Gita is teaching something very different. And the mudhas, the abhudhaya, they're teaching something different from what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. It can't be the same. It can't be that you worship, whatever you worship, you go to the same place. And you worship the devas, you go to the devas. You worship Krishna, you go to Krishna. Mutually contradictory assertions. It can't both be true. If this is my left hand, it can't be my right hand. If this is my right hand, it can't be my left hand. If you go to Krishna, you're not going Krishna Loka, you're not going to the devas. You're going to the Devaloka, you're not going to Krishna Loka. Going to Chicago, you're not going to New York. Simple. But people are trying to do some sort of magic trick by word jugglery, by which it all comes out the same. And this is rejected in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the monistic contention that ultimate truth is formless and that form is imposed does not hold true. It is clearly stated here that it's not imposed. From the Bhagavad Gita, we can clearly understand that the forms of the demigods and the form of the Supreme Lord are simultaneously existing, and that Lord Krishna is Satchidananda, eternal blissful knowledge. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Anandamaya Vyasa, or by nature full of blissful pleasure, and that he is the reservoir of unlimited auspicious qualities. And in the Gita, the Lord says that although he is Aja, unborn, he still appears. These are the facts that we should understand from the Bhagavad Gita. We cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be impersonal. The imposition theory of the impersonalist monist is false as far as the statements of the Gita are concerned. It is clear herein that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna, has both form and personality. We're getting a choice here. We can accept the impersonal conception where there's an absolute, formless, nameless, so on, which is the ultimate truth, with Krishna and the devatas being material representations of that supreme truth. Or we can accept what the Bhagavad Gita says. You have a choice. You can't have both. We have to choose this impersonal idea or Bhagavad Gita. If you like to stick to the impersonal idea, then just say, we don't accept Bhagavad Gita, we have this other idea. Or if you want to accept Bhagavad Gita, then accept Bhagavad Gita as it is, without any motivated interpretation, without any turning something upside down to try to make Krishna some manifestation of a higher truth. Because Krishna says, it's not true. Avyaktim apanya, manante mamabhuya. Only the less intelligent persons think that from some impersonal, absolute reality, I've taken this temporary form. They don't know my actual nature. So we celebrated the appearance of Krishna. Not because Krishna is our favorite god, but because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Bhavam, Param Brahma, Param Tam, Param Brahma, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adidevam, Param Bhavam. Well, in this way we should understand Krishna. And by understanding Krishna factually, what will be the benefit? Chatva deham punarjanmanai. One gets freed from birth and death. Mamiti. And he goes back to Krishna. That will make our life successful. In this life we'll be happy, and in the next life go back to God. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, Lord Shiva, what category?
Lord Shiva? What about Lord Shiva?
What category
is he in? Shiva Tattva. He's in his own category. No one else is in Lord Shiva's category. Not you or me or anyone. He's sui generis. He's in his own unique category. He's almost on the level of Narayan, Vishnu. But not exactly on the same level, because he's in contact with the material energy. He's married to the material energy. Durga, Devi. Well, Narayan is always transcendental to the material energy. Lord Shiva is not separate from Narayan. He's not a separate god, a separate... He's actually a manifestation of Narayan.
but he's a manifestation of Narayan the way that curd is a manifestation of milk. Curd is not different from milk. Curd is also milk. But it's milk touched by Imli or something, so that it turns a little to a different point. So when the Narayan doesn't come in touch with the impersonal material energy, so when there has to be some touch with the material energy, then Lord Shiva is manifest. Otherwise, he's almost on the level of Lord Vishnu, but not on the same level. Yastu Narayan Devam Brahmarudra Adhidharate Samate Naya Vikshetam Vipashyandi Vavetam. He's not on the same level. Almost.
Okay.
In Brihad Bhagavatam,
there is one section where Gop Kumar.
In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's a section where Gop Kumar is passing through different levels of the universe.
Yes. And he meets Lord Shiva.
He meets Lord Shiva.
And his associates.
And his associates.
And that part of Lord Shiva is actually the spiritual world, that Viraja, that is Maheshtha. My question is, so these associates of Lord Shiva, who are there with him, serving him, do they have affinity for Lord Krishna also? Are they
both devotees? Lord Shiva has affinity for Lord Krishna. So Lord Shiva's associates also. But their main allegiance is to Lord Shiva. They're Lord Shiva's men.
The eternal spiritual beings with spiritual bodies?
Spiritual, almost. Almost spiritual.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Please accept my humble obeisance of Guru Srila Prabhupada. You reminded us so nicely that those who don't perform devotional service cannot know Krishna.
Those who don't know devotional service can't know Krishna.
And then you also spoke of the less intelligent who worship demigods. What are those who claim to have relationship with Krishna but do not follow the regulative principles?
What about those who claim to have a relationship with Krishna but who don't follow the regulative principles? They're described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancha Tribhidin Vina Vaikantiki Hare Bhakti Rupataya Bhakavata. They represent a disturbance to devotional service. Especially those, there may be those who are Paramahansa Vaishnavas, who are not very much concerned with following all of the routine activities. But they don't violate the regulative principles. There are those who claim to be... It's amazing what people accept as holy people. You know, someone who's in ordinary life, we consider him a... what would you say? A sex monger, or a ladies' man, or a debauchee, or you know, a degraded romantic. Dress him up in saffron, and he becomes a sadhu. There are people who teach that you just let everything go, you forget your inhibitions, you just feel free, and you have sex with whoever you want, and that's bhakti, that's sadhana, that's something. and people say, oh, they're great revolutionary thinkers. What revolutionary thinkers? They're cats and dogs. But he, you know, makes a show. And oh, show, and people think that he's something. He's a dog. And people, he's a great revolutionary philosophy. The dog knows that philosophy. So these materialistic activities or materialistic gross indulgence of the senses is something entirely different from bhakti. Sarva upadhi vinir muktam tat pratena nirmo. Rishikena rishikesha sena. Bhakti rishikesha. Bhakti means when we serve Krishna's senses, not when we serve our senses. There's so many cheaters. So many cheaters. For every genuine person, there's 10,000 cheaters. And they're advertised as incarnations of God. They're advertised as Narayan. They're advertised as this. They're advertised as that. And we have to accept it. We don't accept it. We say it's rubbish. No, Hindu religion means we're very tolerant. We accept everything as something. No. Maybe that's Hindu religion, but that's not Bhagavad Gita. That's not even intelligent. That someone is having sex like a cat or a dog and some sort of spiritual.
Someone who is approaching devatas and who achieved their goal in those devatas' planets, being this temporal, will they have a different birth or higher birth next time? Where they have an opportunity to serve devotees or the Krishna's devotee?
Those who worship the demigods, if they go to the demigod planets, when they come back down here, do they have extra credit so that they become Krishna's devotees? Not necessarily.
Because devatas are considered as Krishna's close associates. So
there's maybe Krishna's close associates. That's all right. Not so close, actually. There is administrative associates here. Those who associate with the demigods, there are two ways of going to the higher planets: by worshipping the demigods or by failing in the yoga system. People are so eager that I'll go to the Devaloka, I'll go to Swarg. Swarg is the booby prize. You familiar with that term, booby prize? No, I didn't think so. It's an American term used among children, especially. In children's games, you win, you get the prize. And if you fail, actually, then you get the booby prize. The prize awarded to the kid. Don't feel bad, you get the boogie prize.
Consolation
prize, you could say. Or maybe it's the prize for the person who came last, even. Depending on how we play the game. Anyway, those who fail in the yoga system go to the higher planets. It's mentioned in the sixth chapter. Those who succeed, go to the Supreme. Those who fail, at least they tried. They get the consolation prize. They go to Swarg. So you can go two ways, either by worshipping the Devata, Devan Devyajo Yanti, or by failing in the yoga system. If you go by failing in the yoga system, then it's also explained, they come back and they make further progress. Because they were trying to make progress in yoga, that's where they left off. They failed, but they get another chance. But those who are simply trying to go to Swarg, they go to Swarg and they come back. Nice. Anything else? Chaos. Okay, I left five minutes for everyone else and half an hour for you.
Actually, I wanted to follow up on your answer. You had said that basically, I guess, when Krishna wants to come in contact with the material energy, he manifests as Shiva.
Yeah, when Krishna wants to come in touch with the material energy, he manifests as Lord Shiva. When there's a need to create the material world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the phrase, you know, I've read this in the CC too, that when God comes in contact with material energy, that Shiva who does that. And my question is, when we say that the living entities come in contact...
Here, hold on one second. You happen to be close, so you can have my microphone.
When we say that the living entities come in contact with material energy, we're also saying that the result is we are illusioned by that contact. So my question is, how is Lord Shiva's contact with material energy different? Because he's a pure devotee, he's not illusioned by his contact, I don't think.
How is Lord Shiva affected? He's not affected like us. We're totally bewildered by the material energy. Lord Shiva's position is that because he's in touch with the material energy, he can't be on the same platform as Vishnu. Otherwise, he's very elevated. Only just a little touch of material energy is there, because he has to manage the material, all material affairs. Little touches there. But otherwise, he's in a very exalted position. We can't compare him to the ordinary. That's why he's in a category by himself. If we drink an ocean of poison, finished. Lord Shiva drinks an ocean of poison, maybe his throat turns a little blue.
So his minute contact with material energy,
does it have any negative little? It's not so positive to be in touch with material energy, but he's so great that he's hardly affected. Therefore, he's in a class by himself.
That little effect that he does have, how does that manifest?
It manifests. How does it manifest? It manifests in his not being Vishnu. Shall we stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much.